Hello, and welcome back to the Automotive Podcast. I hope everyone is having a great day, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking about the Lotus Esprit. This was a recommendation by a listener, so I want to thank them for the recommendation. It was an awesome car, and I really enjoyed looking into it. The Lotus Esprit was produced from 1967 to 2004, so it had a pretty long production life. And in order to understand the Lotus Esprit and where it came from and why it was made, we need to look at the history of Lotus. Lotus was a relatively small company. They were known for kit cars and for making enthusiast cars. They didn't have big production numbers, they didn't even have that high end of cars, but they were able to stay in business thanks to a small but very dedicated group of fans that would enjoy the cars manufactured by Lotus. And the man that created Lotus, a gentleman named Colin Chapman, was very aware of this fact. He was aware that companies like his own somewhat balanced on a knife's edge, being very dependent on that small group of fans. And Chapman wanted to change this. He wanted to move away from this business model and stop producing affordable enthusiast cars and kit cars and start to make some really high-performance, impressive supercars. Chapman believed that this was the best way to stay in business and the best way to continue to make Lotus a successful and profitable company. And he looked to make cars to rival Porsche and Ferrari in their performance. So it was a pretty big change in Lotus's whole business model, moving from kit cars to supercars. And the very first of these new, higher performance cars was to be the Lotus Esprit. By 1970, the design team at Lotus had come up with some basic ideas for this new high-performance car, and were working really hard to develop it and turn it into a full-fledged, functioning car. However, that is hard to do, and it was taking them some time. The following year, Colin Chapman would be approached by Giorgato Giugiaro, who offered his help in creating this new high-performance Lotus. For those that don't know, Giugiaro is a very famous car designer, and he is most well known for the type of design called folded paper. And this was cars that had very sharp edges and were very angly and, well, basically kind of looked like creases in folded paper. Interestingly, Giugiaro was an artist. He wasn't really into cars as a young man and instead studied art under a local cartoonist. However, he would sketch cars and would eventually be hired by Fiat's Special Vehicle Styling Center after the technical director of Fiat saw his sketches of cars. So, fundamentally, he was an artist, and I think you can see that in his cars. He's very famous for lots of these folded paper cars, and they all look absolutely amazing. Interestingly, the Esprit would be one of the very first cars that received this folded paper type design. And Chapman was happy to accept his help in designing this new supercar. He wanted it to stand out, he wanted it to look good, and Giugiaro could definitely do that for him. Lotus would take a older Lotus called a Europa and would take the chassis from that car and modify it to be the dimensions of this new sports car, the one that would eventually become the Esprit. Initially, this was called just the M70, and it was sent to Giugiaro's design studio in Italy, where he could create the looks of this new car. Giugiaro would come back with a concept car, and Colin Chapman had mixed feelings. The car looked great, there was no doubt about that. But Chapman was worried that due to the aerodynamics of the car, he feared that the car would lift at high speeds. It wouldn't be stable, and it would, well, kind of take off like an airplane. And that's obviously not really what you're looking for in a high-performance car. Another small problem was that Jajaro had created this car from aluminum alloy. And while that's not necessarily a bad material, Lotus had always used fiberglass, and Chapman wanted to make this car fully Lotus in every way, and that included making the body out of fiberglass. To fix these problems and help the car along, members of the Lotus design team would actually move to Italy temporarily to help Jajaro and advise him on the use of fiberglass. He had no experience with this material, so they acted as the experts to help him create what he wanted out of fiberglass. The first thing this team would do would be to create a quarter-scale model of the car for wind tunnel testing. And this testing showed that Chapman's fears were correct. The car had a tendency to lift at high speeds. So the team would rework the design and get rid of this problem. They would make it so that the car would not lift at high speeds. During this time, other changes were also made so that the car would follow safety regulations from all the different countries that the car would eventually be sold in. After these changes were made, a functioning model would be made for further testing. This would be the car shown off at the Paris Motor Show in 1975. The public's response to this new car was mixed. While it looked good and was exciting, people were a little sad to see Lotus move away from this affordable enthusiast kit car market. That's what they were known for, and they had a big following. And suddenly they were coming out with this much more expensive, much more high-performance car. So some people are like, yay, let's go high-performance. But other people were understandably a little bit sad to see Lotus move in this new direction. The engine for this new Lotus would be a 120.4 cubic inch, or about 2 liter, dual overhead cam inline 4 that was called the Lotus 907. It was mounted behind the passengers, so the Esprit was a mid-engine car, and this engine would power the rear wheels through a 5-speed manual transmission. The development of this engine itself also has a pretty interesting story. The 907 started development way before the Esprit, in 1964, and this was due to Chapman wanting Lotus to start creating its own series of engine in-house for use in future cars. The 907 engine was based on the idea of an inline 4 that would be slanted at 45 degrees so that it could fit better into smaller cars. This engine was also designed to basically be one half of a V8 engine so that in the future, Lotus could create a V8 very easily by basically just sticking two of these engines together. Lotus during this time was not a big company, and while they certainly had some talent and the resources to start making this engine, it was a little bit difficult at times. The creation of this engine started out smoothly with the design of the cylinder head, however, Lotus would struggle to find a suitable engine block to use. Eventually, an engine block from a Vauxhall would be used, as this new engine would be also designed around the idea of a slanted engine, and it worked well with what Lotus was looking for. So now, Lotus had their new engine, they had designed the head, and the block was coming from Vauxhall. And Lotus had spent a fair amount of time and a good amount of money creating this engine. To get a little bit of that money back, Lotus would create a deal with Jensen Motors. Jensen Motors was working with Jeffrey Haley to create a new sports car, and they needed a new engine for it. Lotus would supply this recently developed 907 engine for this new sports car. Not only did this allow Lotus to make money back on their investment into the engine, but it also allowed for the engine to be tested in the real world in a real car to see if there was any major problems that needed to be fixed. Unfortunately for Jensen Motors, this new engine did have some big issues. The engine tended to consume large amounts of oil and had a tendency to distort cylinder liners. Lotus worked hard to fix these problems and would eventually get this engine into a very reliable state. It did not work out so well for Jensen Motors and their new sports car. Due to the engine problems, there was a large stain on this sports car, which was called the Jensen Haley, and the car never quite recovered from this faulty engine supplied by Lotus. But Lotus had fixed these problems, and for the Esprit, this engine was ready to go. It had been tested, and everything had been fixed, and it was ready to be dropped into this new supercar produced by Lotus that was called the Esprit. With this engine, the Esprit had around 160 horsepower and 140 foot-pounds of torque for European spec cars. American spec cars were less powerful at 140 horsepower, and this was due to emission standards in place within the United States. The rest of the Esprit was sourced from a variety of places. The front suspension came from the Vauxhall Cavalier Mark I. The front disc brakes would also come from this same Vauxhall. And the rear taillights came from the Fiat X19. Rear suspension was unique with the fact that it had inboard brakes, which is not very common these days, but was pretty common for race cars at this time. And even though the Esprit was a little bit of a hodgepodge of different cars, all of this combined in a wonderful way and created a beautifully handling car, which is what Lotus is known for. It was not a particularly fast car, however. Lotus reported that the Esprit had a 0-60 time of 6.8 seconds and a top speed of 138 miles per hour. However, independent testing found that the 0-60 was closer to 8 seconds and the top speed closer to 133 miles per hour. But, like I said, the Esprit was very lightweight at just 1,984 pounds, about 900 kilograms, and handled beautifully. To assist with this, no power steering was used, and the steering system was a rack and pinion. Another thing that is pretty impressive about the Esprit is that it was very efficient. This is most likely the case because the Esprit was developed during the 1973 oil embargo, which had massive effects on the automotive world. If you listen to the episode on the Ford Mustang, you're aware of how the oil embargo basically required cars be more efficient because that's what people were looking for. So, when the Esprit was being developed, it made sense to create an efficient sports car that could outperform V8s and V12s in how much fuel was being used. This first Esprit, which would be called the Series 1 or the S1, got around 27.5 miles per gallon, which is pretty damn good. This first Esprit also would not be in production for very long, right about 2 years. In 1978, the next generation of Esprit was introduced, called the S2. This Esprit featured small changes throughout the car, including new taillights, intake and cooling ducts being added to the body, and a new front spoiler. The first major changes to come to the car's powertrain would take place in 1980, with the creation of the S2.2. This car was identical to the S2 Esprit, but with a new engine called the 912, which had an increase in displacement to 2.2 liters. This did not boost the horsepower at all, but instead increased the torque, which is certainly nice to have in an engine. However, the S2.2s are extremely rare, with only about 88 being made. I also want to mention that Lotus is not known for keeping track of how many cars they made, so all of the numbers relating to how many of a certain car was made should be taken with a grain of salt. The same year that the S2.2 was released, in 1980, some big changes came to the Esprit. These changes would come in the form of the Essex Turbo Esprit. This was only a special edition of the Spree that featured a new livery, and more importantly, it came turbocharged from the factory. But this was the first time that the Esprit was given a substantial improvement to power. The Essex utilized a dry sump 910 engine that pushed out 210 horsepower. This actually gave a 0-60 time of about 6 seconds and a top speed of 150 miles per hour. This car also came with improved suspension and an aerodynamic body kit designed by Giugiaro. This wasn't a massive increase in power, however, like I said, these cars were very lightweight. These are very rare, with only 45 of them being built. By 1981, the S3 was up for sale. This was also the time where the Turbo Esprit would be created. The Turbo Esprit was not a special edition, but a base model of Esprit that came with a turbocharged engine. This car would keep the same aerodynamic kit from the Essex cars. Both the non-turbo S3 and the turbo Esprit used the 2.2-liter engines. In 1986, a high-compression version of this engine was introduced. The cars that used these engines are known as Esprit HC for high compression and the Turbo Esprit HC. The high compression engines added more power to the naturally aspirated engines, allowing them to hit 170 horsepower, while the turbo Esprits would keep the same horsepower, but were given more torque at lower RPMs when utilizing the high compression engines. This would also be the first time that fuel injection was introduced to the Esprit. The fuel injection was mostly used in cars that had to meet higher emission standards, as the fuel injection allowed them to produce basically the same horsepower without being as pollution heavy. However, to produce the same horsepower as the non-fuel injected cars, the engines did have to go to a higher RPM. The cars that had the fuel injection were called HCIs, as they used the high compression engines and fuel injection. In 1987, the Esprit would get major visual overhauls. This new Esprit would be called simply the X180, and it would be designed by Peter Stevens, who would then go on to design the McLaren F1. This version had more rounded edges and kind of moved away from that folded paper design, but it did look decent and it's still an attractive car. This version also had higher rigidity in the body thanks to new manufacturing processes, which helped the handling even more. The drivetrain was basically unchanged from the high compression Esprits and the Turbo Esprit, although the name for the Turbo Esprits would be flipped, and now they'd be called Esprit Turbos. Don't know why that was necessary, but they did make that an official change that you would no longer call these cars Turbo Esprits, but instead Esprit Turbos. And while the engines were basically the same for the X180s, they were faster cars. They had 0 to 60 times between 5.4 and 5.1 seconds for the turbo versions, which is getting pretty fast. In 1989, power was pushed a good amount to 264 horsepower with the addition of an air-water-air intercooler. This is a very cool upgrade for this car. So intercoolers are used usually for turbo cars because you want to remove heat from the air being pushed into the engine. Colder air is denser, so you can theoretically get more air into the engine if it is colder, and more air in equals more power out. So intercoolers act as a heat exchanger, cooling down the air that's going into the engine. An air-to-water intercooler allows that heat exchange to occur between water and the air going into the engine. This allows for a lot of heat to be removed from the air, and since all you have to do is get water to the intercooler can be placed pretty much anywhere in the car because there's no need to get outside air to it. With this intercooler being added, 0 to 60 times dropped again to 4.7 seconds. During this time, there were other Esprits created. These included a special equipment model and the Esprit S. Neither of these versions were around for all that long. However, the Esprit special equipment model would be used in racing, specifically the SCCA Escort World Challenge Series in 1990. These cars were stripped and utilized the air-to-water intercoolers. Different engine management was used and allowed for a power output of 286 horsepower. These cars would do well, taking pole position 6 times and winning 4 times overall. Esprits would also compete in other race series, including the American IMSA Bridgestone Supercar Championship, which the car would win in 1992. One of the most valuable versions would be made also at this time. This version was called the Sport 300. Only 50 of these cars were made, and they had the most powerful 4-cylinder engines to be in any Esprit. These cars would push out 302 horsepower thanks to a Garrett T4 turbo and larger inlet valves. This allowed for 0 to 60 times of 4.7 seconds and a top speed of 168 miles per hour. In 1994, the final version of the Esprit would be released. It would be in production until 2004. This was called the Esprit S4. Starting out, the S4 would have the same power as the SE cars at 265 horsepower. This would also be the first Esprit to have power steering. In 1996, the largest change would take place for the powertrain. This would be the time that V8s were put in Esprits. And this is a big change. Going from an inline 4 to a V8 changes the feel of the car, the weight of the car, but also allows for big horsepower increases. The specific V8 to be used was actually very cool. It was built in-house at Lotus, and this engine was an all-aluminum dual overhead cam V8 with a displacement of 3.5 liters. So it wasn't a particularly big engine, which, I don't know, there's something I find very cool about a small displacement V8 engine. On top of the V8 of the V8 engine, it was also twin turbocharged, and although it did not use the air-to-water intercooler, it had the ability to push out 500 horsepower. This would not be the amount of power given to the production car, as Lotus wanted to make sure that the car was still reliable, and the production car was given a still healthy but heavily detuned power at 350 horsepower. And this car was certainly quick, one of the fastest Esprits ever made, with a 0 to 60 time of 4.4 seconds and a top speed of 175 miles per hour. However, by 1999, this was topped by the Sport 350 Esprit. This version still pushed out 350 horsepower, that's why it was called the Sport 350, but it was able to drop the 0 to 60 times by a small amount to 4.3 seconds, which is certainly fast. The car would be discontinued in 2004, however, it was a graceful and peaceful ending to this car. It really showed that Lotus had made the switch that Chapman was looking for all the way back in the 1970s. Lotus was no longer a kit car manufacturer, It was a super car builder. And I think it really shows that I didn't know the history of Lotus, and I always thought of Lotuses as supercars. And I was a bit surprised to learn that the origin of Lotus was not particularly high-performance cars. However, they truly switch their image, and they rival Porsches and even Ferraris. And it is all thanks to the Esprit. In total, about 10,675 Esprits were built, and surprisingly, they're still fairly affordable, with most being less than $30,000. So if you want to get a very cool car that potentially could make a lot of horsepower and look amazing, I mean, they are just like the ultimate sports car. They're angly, they're wedge-shaped, they're just like, that's what you want your sports car to look like. They are beautiful. And if you get one of the later models, it pretty much rivals the supercars of that era. And so it is truly a very cool piece of automotive history. That's going to be it for the episode on the Lotus Esprit. I hope you enjoyed. Thank you again to the listener who recommended this car. It was very fascinating, and I've always been a big fan of Lotus, but I never really knew that much about them. If you'd like to support the podcast, the number one way to do that is to leave reviews and to follow the podcast on whichever platform you are listening. Also, recommending the show to anyone who you think might enjoy it means a ton and is greatly appreciated. Finally, you're welcome to follow me on social media. My Instagram is automotive.podcast, my Twitter is @automotivepod, and my Facebook is @automotivepodcast. I post car facts and will let you know about upcoming episodes. Other than that, I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you next week.